This week we have been talking so much about what it means to be a disciple. And what we've been doing is describing the process of becoming a disciple. Being born again is just the beginning. There is so much more to being a disciple than just being a Christian. It requires spiritual maturity. And this requires time. We must be diligent in giving our time to the Lord. Praying in tongues and meditating in the Word feed our spirit. And they are two of the primary keys helping us to mature spiritually. Throughout this week, Pastor Bronk and I have spoken much about preachers who deceive people through their teaching. Well, that brings up a very interesting question. What do we do when we encounter preachers who are preaching doctrine? What if it turns out that one of my favorite preachers starts preaching error? What do we do if it's my pastor who starts teaching wrong doctrine? What if the church I attend is pastored by my dad? And he starts teaching wrong doctrine. What am I supposed to do? See, many times we think about preachers who preach wrong doctrine. We tend to think that it's always going to be preachers out there somewhere. But we don't really think that it could be people close to us. Pastor Bronk and I are very, very close friends. But if I start preaching and teaching wrong doctrine, what is he supposed to do? This can be a very, very challenging situation. But praise God, we can find answers in His Word. I'd like you to turn to a chapter that Pastor Bronk used this afternoon. Philippians chapter 3.
Wa Filipi sura ya tatu.
And when you turn to Philippians chapter 3,
tukiangalia katika Wa Filipi sura ya tatu,
we're going to begin taking a look at verse 17.
Na tuangalie sana mstari wa 17.
It says this.
Inasema hivi.
Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so, as ye have us for an example.
Ndugu zangu, mnifuate ninyi, mkiwatazame wao waendao kwa kufuata mfano tulio wapa ninyi.
So here's what we're supposed to do.
So, hapa, kuna kitu ambacho inafaa tufanye.
The Apostle Paul said, when you identify preachers who are genuinely preaching truth,
Mtume Paulo anasema, mkiona wachungaji ambao wanafundisha ukweli,
he says, you are to mark them.
Anasema, lazima muwatazame.
This means you are to identify them and speak of them.
Hii inamaanisha, lazima wajue, mwatambue na mwe mnaongea kuwahusu.
And you are to follow them.
Na pia kuwafuata.
And you are to follow all other preachers who are preaching and teaching truth.
Na lazima pia mfuate na kutazama wahubiri wote ambao wanafundisha na kuhubiri ukweli.
Well, someone could ask the question, how am I supposed to know if they're preaching truth?
Na mtu pia anaweza kauliza, nitajuaje kama mtu anafundisha ukweli?
This is what we have been talking about all week.
Hivyo tumekuwa tukizungumzia wiki yote.
Praying in tongues and meditating in the word helps you.
Kuomba kwa ndimi na kutafakari neno la Mungu litakusaidia.
It enables the Holy Spirit to sink roots of God's truth deeply into your spirit.
Itasababisha Roho Mtakatifu aizamishe ukweli wa neno la Mungu ndani ya moyo wako.
And the more that you pray in tongues and meditate in scripture, the more you are going to be able to identify preachers who are preaching truth. And the Apostle Paul says that we are to mark these people. Now leave your finger in this passage and turn over to Romans chapter 16.
Nataka tushikilie tu katika hiyo mali tumesoma wa Filipi 3:17 na turuke katika Warumi 16.
And Romans chapter 16.
Warumi 16.
And we are going to discover another group of people that we are to mark.
Tutaenda kuangalia watu wengine ambao pia lazima tuwaangalie.
Romans 16 verse 17.
Warumi 16, haya ndogo 17.
Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them.
Ndugu zangu, nawasihi kuangalieni wale wafanyao fitina na mambo ya kukwaza kinyume cha mafundisho mliojifunza, mkajiepushe nao.
Now turn back over to Philippians chapter 3.
Sasa turudi kwenye Filipi mlango wa 3, pale tusome kwanza.
And we're going to see more about this second group of people we are supposed to mark.
Tutaona kikundi cha watu wa pili ambao inafaa tuangalie.
Paul says these are people who are preaching and teaching things that are in opposition to the doctrine the apostles preached and taught. And he says, avoid them. This means you do not submit yourself to their ministry. You stay away from them. You do not send them your offerings. You do not attend their church. You do not buy their books. You do not buy their DVDs. You get them out of your life. But you see, in the church today, we are taught we're supposed to love everybody. Now that part is true. But too many Christians associate loving everybody with just accepting them and everything they believe and teach. But all scripture has been given by inspiration of God.
Sikia, na maandiko yote ni pumzi ya Mungu.
This means that God, through the Apostle Paul, is telling us this.
Inamaanisha Mungu kupitia kwa mtume Paulo anatuambia hivi.
When you find a preacher who is preaching wrong doctrine,
ukipata mhubiri ambaye anafundisha mafundisho ya uongo,
you mark that person.
Umwekee alama.
And then after you mark that person, you avoid that person. This is an instruction from God Himself. Now, look what's happening in the lives of those preachers. Philippians 3:18. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ.
Maana wengi wenenda ambao nimewaambieni mara nyingi habari zao, na hata sasa nawaambia hata kwa machozi, kuwa ni adui za msalaba wa Kristo.
Whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things.
Mwisho wao ni uharibifu, Mungu wao ni tumbo, utukufu wao uko katika fedheha yao, waniao mambo ya duniani.
Now very briefly, here's what Paul is telling us.
Kwa ufupi, Paulo anatuambia hivi.
He says these kind of preachers have become enemies of the cross of Christ. Notice he does not say they have begun denying Jesus. They have not begun denying Jesus. They're not telling you, don't read the Bible. They're not denying the existence of God. But they are teaching and preaching things that contradict what the apostles taught. Now I want you to think very closely about this. If through their error they have made themselves enemies of the cross of Christ, have they not also made themselves enemies of us? Now think about this. Paul said we are to avoid such preachers. Why would I avoid someone who is not my enemy? He did not say hate them. He didn't say don't pray for them. He said avoid them. And he says in verse 19, whose end is destruction. That literally means this. If those preachers continue on the path they're walking, eventually they are going to cut themselves off completely from God. And that word destruction means eternal separation from God. This means they're going to be in the lake of fire forever. He says, whose God is their belly. This doesn't mean they just like to eat a lot. It's talking about the carnal things of the flesh. It's talking about the things of this world, which is what he means when he says that they mind earthly things. He says their glory is in their shame. In essence, this is describing someone who believes that everything they're preaching and teaching is truth. And they're receiving the praise and recognition of man. And God is saying it is a shame for them to do this. But they think everything is okay. Now look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Second Thessalonians chapter 3.
Wa Thessalonike wa pili, mlango wa tatu.
And we'll begin reading this in verse 6.
Tutaanza katika mstari wa sita.
Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us.
Ndugu zangu, ama ndugu, toagiza katika jina la Bwana Yesu Kristo, jitengeni nafsi zenu na kila ndugu aendaye bila utaratibu, wala si kwa kufuata mapokeo mliyopokea kwetu.
And in verse 14 he says, and if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed.
Na ikiwa mtu awaye yote alishiki neno letu la waraka huu, jihadhari na mtu huyu, wala msizungumze naye apate kutahayarika.
So here he's telling us that if you have preachers and even Christians who are not preaching the word beginning to depart away from the truth,
anasema hapo ya kwamba ukipata wahubiri wa Kristo au wachungaji ambao hawafundishi ukweli wa neno la Mungu na wanaanza kutoroka katika ukweli,
that you are supposed to withdraw yourself from them.
Kitu ambacho inafaa ufanye, toka kwao.
He says that you are to note them, or in other words, you are to mark them.
Anasema kwamba inafaa uwatambue.
And have no company with them. And the goal is for them to be ashamed of what they've been doing.
Now
think about this. If Christians who identify the truth were to stop attending churches where wrong doctrine is taught, were to stop attending conferences and crusades where wrong doctrine is taught, were to stop sending in their money and their support from preachers, who are preaching wrong doctrine, if we began withdrawing ourselves from other Christians who have begun separating themselves from truth, don't you think those preachers and Christians would start wondering what is going on? But when we continue to attend their churches, when we continue to attend their conferences and crusades, when we continue to buy their books and their DVDs, when we continue to send them our money, what we're telling them is this: I don't care what you preach and teach. For some reason, I just like you. Well, God didn't say don't like them. He just said avoid them. In other words, don't submit yourself to their teaching. See, God still loves them. But God is trying everything he can to get their eyes open. And we're not helping if we keep following after preachers of error. How much more are we willing to take? Every time we sit in services where error is being taught, it's like eating poison. It's like eating that vomit and that dung we talked about. See, it's bad enough when you're deceived and you eat that stuff. It's bad enough when you are deceived and you eat that stuff. But when you see that stuff on the table and you eat it anyway, that's weird. Who in their right mind would do such a thing? And yet there are Christians all over the world who are doing this. They know that there are preachers who are preaching wrong things. But they continue to support them. Because they're really good at what they do. Well, murderers are really good at what they do. Some people are mass murderers. Some people are mass murderers. They're very good at killing people. But we don't want to be around them. Do you not understand that these preachers are murdering us with their doctrine? You say, well, now I just don't know if I believe that. Well, why don't we turn over to another place where Pastor Bronk covered this morning? Matthew chapter 18. And in Matthew chapter 18, we're going to begin in verse 1. In Matthew 18, verse 1, listen to this. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Now see, what had happened is this. These disciples, Peter, John, James, the rest of them. They argued among themselves as to which of them would be the greatest. Well, they go to Jesus and they ask him, who's the greatest in the kingdom? They were assuming they were already in the kingdom. But remember in John chapter 3, Jesus said, if you are not born again, you aren't even in the kingdom. And we know that nobody could be born again until after Jesus had been crucified and risen from the dead. So at the time the disciples asked this question, they were not in the kingdom. And they asked this question because they were hoping that Jesus would begin pointing to some of them and saying, "You are the greatest in the kingdom." Well, Jesus surprised them all. Verse 2. And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven."
Yesu akaita mtu mmoja, akamweka katikati yao, akasema, "Amini nawaambia, msipoongoka na kuwa kama vitoto, hamtaingia kamwe katika ufalme wa mbinguni."
So Jesus is saying, look, until you're converted, you can't even be in the kingdom.
Yesu anasema, paka mtakapobadilika, hamwezi kuingia katika ufalme.
This converted means born again.
Hii kubadilika inamaanisha kuokoka, kuzaliwa mara ya pili.
When we are born again,
tukizaliwa mara ya pili,
we experience a spiritual birth as babes in Christ.
Tunapata kuzaliwa kiroho kama watoto wachanga.
And he says you have to be converted to become like little children before you're even in the kingdom. So the first thing he explains to them is how to get into the kingdom. Now he tells them how to be the greatest in the kingdom. Verse 4. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven.
Basi, yeyote ajinyenyekeshaye mwenyewe, kama mtoto huyu, huyo ndiye aliye mkuu katika ufalme wa mbinguni.
So here I am, I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And I have become as a little child. But I also have to be humbled like a little child. Little children are very, very forgiving. They get in fights with each other and moments later they're playing again. Little children are very trusting. They believe that you are going to do everything that you say you'll do. But little children are also very teachable. And as you begin teaching these little children, they'll listen to you and believe you. Now look what Jesus says in verse 5. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. Now who is it that is receiving the little child? It's me, the preacher. So somebody has been converted. They become as a little child.
So mtu ameokoka, amekuwa kama mtoto mdogo.
But they've also humbled themselves to be like a little child.
Wakanyenyekea kama watoto wadogo baada ya kuokoka.
That makes them very teachable.
Hiyo inawafanya wakuwe watu wanaokuwa rahisi kufundisha.
So they come to me in my conference.
Sasa wanakuja kwa conference yangu kama hii.
They come to me in my church.
Wanakuja kwa kanisa langu mimi mhubiri sasa.
And I receive them with open arms.
Alafu nawapokea kwa moyo, kwa mikono iliyo wazi.
And Jesus said, when you receive them, you are receiving me.
Yesu anasema, unapopokea wale watu ambao wameshaokoka, wakafanyika kama watoto wadogo, unampokea yeye.
Now look in verse 6.
Angalia mstari wa 6, kuna jambo muhimu sana wapendwa, msilale.
But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come, But woe to that man by whom the offense cometh.
Bali atakaye bali atakaye kosesha mmoja wapo wa wadogo hawa waniaminio yamfaa fungiwe shingoni tiwe kubwa la kusagia na kutoswa katika kilindi cha bahari. Ole ni wa ulimwengu kwa sababu ya mambo ya kukosesha, maana hayana budi kuja mambo ya kukosesha. Lakini ole wake mtu yule aliyetai jambo la kukosesha.
Now, as I am receiving these little ones, I have the responsibility of preaching and teaching truth to them. And God expects me to be where I need to be in Him.
Na Mungu anakutarajia ukishawapokea watoto wachanga ambao wameokoka ya kwamba ukue mahali nafaa ukue.
So I am preaching truth and not error.
Ili ufundishe ukweli na usifundishe uongo.
But Jesus says you had better watch out how you treat these little ones.
Yesu alikuwa anasema hivi, lazima ujiadhari jinsi ambavyo unachunga hawa watu wachanga.
Now it's easy for us to think of an offense in this way.
Ni rahisi sana watu waangalie makosa kwa hii njia.
If I do something to hurt your feelings.
Ya kwamba nikifanya kitu ambayo inakukasirisha.
If I say something mean to you.
Nikisema kitu ambacho inakukasirisha.
If I sit in your chair during a church service.
Nikikaa kwa kiti chako wakati wa ibada, nikae kwa kiti ambacho ulikuwa umekalia.
We think of offenses as being those kinds of things.
Watu wanafikiria kwamba hizo ndio makosa.
But remember, these offenses are associated with the people receiving the little ones.
Kumbuka, makosa ambayo inazungumziwa hapa, inazungumzia watu wale ambao wanapokea waliokoka.
These offenses can be mean things that I do to the little ones.
Hii makosa hii, inaashiria mambo ambayo nawafanyia watoto wadogo.
But the greatest offense is when I mislead them with error.
Lakini kosa kubwa ni wakati na wadanganya.
Now look at this in verse 8.
Angalia mstari wa 8.
Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire.
Basi mkono wako au mguu wako ukikukosesha, ukate ukautupe mbali nawe. Ni afadhali kuingia katika uzima hali umepungukiwa na mkono au mguu kuliko kuwa na mikono miwili au miguu miwili na kutupwa katika moto wa milele.
Now some people think that Jesus has changed subjects in verses 8 and 9.
Watu wengine wakisoma andiko hilo wanasema sasa Yesu anazungumzia kitu kingine tofauti.
But notice this began with him teaching about the preachers and the teachers who commit an offense.
Na ukumbuke mafundisho yake ilianzia wahubiri na walimu ambao wanafanya makosa.
Then in verse 10 he says this.
Mstari wa 10 anasema,
take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven.
Angalieni msiwadharau mmoja wapo wadogo hawa, kwa maana nawaambia ya kwamba malaika wao mbinguni siku zote hutazama uso wa Baba yangu aliye mbinguni.
So we can see by verse 10, he hasn't changed subjects in verses 8 and 9.
Tunaona Yesu hajabadilisha mafundisho. Hao watoto wanaozungumziwa hapa ni wale wale waliokoka wakabadilisha kwa watoto, wakajikia kama watoto ndio wanaambiwa tusiwakosee.
In verse 6, remember what he said.
Mstari wa 6 kumbuka alichosema.
Before somebody has the opportunity to offend one of these little ones,
kabla mtu hajapata nafasi ya kuwakosea hawa pendo wadogo,
It would be better if a millstone were hung around his neck and he was cast into the sea and drowned. Now I want you to consider how powerful this statement is. Jesus is saying, before somebody has the opportunity to lead one of these little ones away from me, it would be better for that person to die. Please let this sink in. Jesus Christ is saying this. It would be better for a preacher to drop dead. Than to preach doctrinal error that leads Christians away from Jesus. This is strong. But see, this is how God sees it. All too often, we don't think it's that big of a deal. Well, I know they preach some things wrong, but boy, I sure do like them. So for 6 Sundays in a row, they preach great messages. Then on the 7th Sunday, they're telling Christians, if you sin, you don't have to repent. Do you not realize they are offending you? Because the more they get you believing that you don't have to repent for sin, is the more you'll begin to reason in your mind, it's not that bad if I do sin. Then the things that you've always kind of wanted to do, but you were a little afraid to do because you thought God would get mad. Well, if I don't have to repent, then maybe God's not all that mad about it. Therefore, if I want to commit adultery, well, I guess it's okay. If I want to steal something, I guess it's okay. If I want to lie, do drugs, get drunk, well, I guess maybe it's okay. But the Apostle Paul said in Galatians chapter 5, that Christians who choose to live according to the works of the flesh, will not inherit the kingdom of God. These are the words of God, not me. And so he continues in verse 11 and says this. For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains and seek that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish.
Hawachi wale 99 akaenda mlimani na kumtafuta yule aliyepotea hata akipata kumuona amini nawaambia amfurahia huyo zaidi kuliko wale 99 wasiopotea. Vivyo hivyo haipendezi mbele za Baba yenu aliye mbinguni kwamba mmoja wa wadogo hawa apotee.
Who are these little ones in verse 14?
How are those little ones in verse 14?
The same little ones we read about in verse 6. The same little children we read about in verses 4 and 5. Who are? What have these little ones done? They have accepted Jesus Christ. They've been converted. And now they are in the kingdom. They are Christians. And in verse 14, Jesus said, "It is not the will of your Father in heaven that one of these little ones should perish." The little ones are the Christians humbled like a child. And the Father says it's not His will that they should perish. This phrase, should perish, means this. Eternal separation from God. In other words, Jesus is saying a preacher has the ability. Through the doctrine he preaches, to begin leading the little ones further and further away from Jesus. And eventually the end result would be this. These little ones started out in the kingdom as Christians. But now they've been led away completely from Jesus. And because of the error that the preacher was preaching, those little ones are now going to spend eternity in the lake of fire. This is how serious God takes this issue of doctrine. Have you ever heard Christians say something like this? Well, you believe it your way, and I'll believe it my way. That is a foolish, ignorant thing to say. No prophecy is above multiple interpretations. The gospel, the word of God, is not set up to be a democracy. We don't sit around and vote on what we think it means. And there are churches and denominations who are doing this all the time. Well, we don't think the Bible is up to date anymore. Some people even write new versions of the Bible. And these new versions are supposed to give greater clarity. Well, I find it very interesting that men think they can give greater clarity than the Holy Spirit. The end result of wrong doctrine can lead Christians completely away from Jesus Christ. This is why Jesus said, it would be better for those preachers to drop dead before they can lead Christians away from Christ. Well, right about now, somebody might have another question. They might say, Brother Martin, I understand what you're saying to this point. But I don't understand verses 8 and
9.
Jesus said, Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than have two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. And if thine hand or if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes and be cast into hell fire.
Mstari wa nane na mstari wa tisa tukirudi juu pale. Basi mkono wako au mguu wako ukikosesha ukate ukatupe pale na wewe. Ni afadhali kuingia katika uzima hali ukiwa na mkono au mguu kuliko kuwa na mikono miwili au miguu miwili na kutupwa katika moto wa milele. Na jicho lako likikosesha ling'oe ukalitupe mbali nawe. Ni afadhali kuingia katika uzima una chongo kuliko kuwa na macho mawili na kutupwa katika jehanamu ya moto.
Now in verse 14, Jesus said, if the little ones keep following wrong doctrine, they could end up being separated from God forever.
Katika mstari wa 8 na 9, Yesu anasema, wale watoto wadogo wakiendelea kufuata mafundisho ya uongo, watatenganishwa na mwili na kupotea milele.
That they could end up for all eternity in the lake of fire.
Wanaweza kupotea katika jehanamu milele na milele. Hiyo ni gari ya shule imepiga kona.
In verse 8, Jesus talks about being cast into everlasting fire.
Yesu akasema katika mstari wa 9 ya kwamba pale kuingia katika uzima wa milele.
In verse 9, he talks about being cast into hellfire. So there's obviously a connection here. Jesus wasn't literally telling us, cut your hand off if it does something bad. He wasn't saying, cut your foot off if it does something bad. He wasn't saying, gouge your eye out if it does something bad. How many of you know that your hand can't do anything bad by itself? But he's using this as an example. What is the hand? What is the foot? What is the eye? It's a part of the body. In Ephesians, Jesus is referred to as being the head of the body, and the church is the body.
Katika wa Efeso, Yesu anaitwa kichwa cha kanisa. Na kanisa hilo ndio mwili.
In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the church is described as the body of Christ.
Katika wa Korinto 12, kanisa linaitwa mwili wa Kristo.
And in the body of Christ, we have symbolically the hands, the feet, the ears, the eyes, the entire body.
Na katika mwili wa Kristo tuna washirika ama viungo kama mikono, miguu, masikio, macho, mapua na kadhalika.
We are the body of Christ and members in particular.
Sisi kama kanisa ni mwili wa Kristo. Na kila mmoja wetu ni kiungo. Wengine wako hapa ambao ni miguu, mikono na kila sehemu ya mwili.
In verses 8 and 9, when Jesus is talking about cutting off your hand, your foot, or plucking out your eye,
katika mstari wa 9 na 10, Yesu anapoongea kuhusu kung'oa jicho lako,
What he's talking about is cutting off every part of the body of Christ that is preaching offending doctrine before it leads you away with it into hellfire.
Hapo
Yesu alikuwa akizungumzia kuhusu kukata ile kiungo cha mwili. Kama ni masikio na inafundisha uongo itakupeleka jehanamu. Afadhali uikate abaki peke yake na wewe mbinguni bila masikio.
Remember what Paul said and what we read earlier.
Kumbuka kitu Paulo amesema na ile ambayo tumesoma hapo mbeleni.
Mark them which cause divisions contrary to the doctrine of the apostles and avoid them.
Mwangalieni wale watu ambao wanafundisha mafundisho potofu, mwawekeni alama. Mkishawekea alama, jiepushe na wao.
In other words, cut them off from your life.
Maana yake ni kwamba uwakate, waondoe katika maisha yako.
He said, when you encounter preachers that are preaching error, withdraw from them. In other words, you cut them off from your life. He didn't say stop loving them. He did not say don't pray for them. He was saying you can't afford to hang around them anymore.
Lakini huwezi kutembea na wao kila wakati.
He's saying if you continue hanging around with them, listening to all of their teaching,
anasema ukizidi kukaa karibu na wao, kusikia mafundisho yao,
their teaching could possibly lead you completely away from Christ and you end up being cast into hell.
Mafundisho yao yatakutoa kwa Kristo na itakupeleka jehanamu.
You see, a lot of Christians today want to talk about unity. That we all have to get along. That we're not supposed to cause division. But yet, what we're seeing from God Himself is that when there are preachers and Christians who refuse to adhere to the doctrine of the apostles,
yes,
we are supposed to divide ourselves from them.
Yes.
We walk in love and prayers for them. But we stop going to their church. We stop going to their conferences. Just because they name the name of Jesus does not mean they can properly feed us spiritually. Pastor Bronk made reference of this morning. We may have 10,000 teachers, but we don't have too many fathers. You may have 10,000 preachers you really like, but the only ones who can do you really good and truly feed you from the table of the Lord are the ones that we would commonly refer to as fathers in the faith. This is why we have to guard our hearts. Now somebody may say, well, Brother Martin, I hear what you're saying. And I have to admit, it looks like you're right. But I'm still having some problems with this. It just seems so drastic that we're just supposed to withdraw ourselves from these people. I mean, I've been going to this church for 45 years. My mom and dad went to this church. Grandma and Grandpa went to this church. Great Grandpa built the church. I just can't leave. My whole family goes to that church. But didn't Jesus say something like this? If you're going to be my disciple, that you have to love me so much that even your family thinks you hate them. And he said, if you don't love me like that, you cannot be my disciple. That's recorded in the book of Luke. But let me show you everything that I have been teaching tonight in action. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. And I'm going to give you a moment to turn over there and see this. Because I don't want you to believe me just because I'm reading it to you. I want you to believe it because you've seen it for yourself. 1 Timothy chapter 1, beginning in verse 18. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme.
Timotheo wa kwanza, mlango wa kwanza, mstari wa 18. Mwanangu Timotheo, nakukabidhi agizo hilo liwe akiba kwa ajili ya maneno ya unabii yaliyotangulia juu yako, ili katika hayo uvipige vile vita vizuri, uwe mwenye imani na dhamiri njema ambayo wengine wameisukumia bali, wakaangamia kwa habari ya imani. Katika hao wamo Himenayo na Iskanda, ambao nimempa shetani watu hao, ili wafundishwe wasimtukane Mungu.
Very briefly, Paul is saying, Timothy, hold on to everything you've been taught.
Yes.
Remember in Jude, it said to earnestly contend for the faith. And we learned that that phrase, earnestly contend, means to fight with everything that is in you. Here in verses 18 and 19, Paul is saying that you need to war a good warfare to hold on to the faith. Why is he telling Timothy this? Because he says there are some preachers out there that are preaching things that are leading people to a place of being shipwrecked. This means that those people had started off okay. They were walking the narrow path of truth. They were serving Christ as they were supposed to. But then some wrong preachers entered into their lives and began teaching things that were wrong. And they began listening to these things that were wrong. And they began believing these things that were wrong. And it eventually led to the place of their lives being shipwrecked. Remember when Paul said, mark them which cause divisions?
Paulo alisema ya kwamba, waangalieni wale wanaoleta
Remember when he said to note them that are preaching these wrong things? This is exactly what Paul does in verse 20. He said, you've got two preachers out there. Their names are Hymenaeus and Alexander. And they have begun preaching things that are causing people to be shipwrecked in their life. They're leading them astray from the truth. They're leading them down a path that could result in eternal damnation. And Paul says, I have delivered them unto Satan so they learn not to blaspheme. Very simply, here's what's going on. Paul says, I have delivered them unto Satan that their lives would be so messed up, their eyes might be opened, and they would repent and make things right before they die. In our minds, we think, how in the world can you turn somebody over to Satan? That just sounds so incredibly drastic. Why, nobody could do something like that. Paul did. Do you realize it is possible for us to get to a place in Christ where we are walking at the same level of love as the Apostle Paul? You see, many people may not understand this. But when Paul said, I turned them over to Satan, that was an act of love. He was saying, I'm hoping that this last effort will have an impact on them. In other words, he's saying, these guys have gone so far, nothing else is working. It's like he's saying the last hope is for their lives to be tormented until they finally repent and make it right with Jesus. And we would think, but this sounds so mean and so cruel. But didn't Jesus say it would be better for those preachers of error to drop dead before they can lead Christians astray? What are we supposed to do when we encounter preachers of error? Even if it's a preacher that we've been listening to for years. If that person begins preaching and teaching error, we are to mark them and we are to separate ourselves from them. If we have a pastor, we've been attending that church for years, but that pastor begins preaching and teaching error, we are supposed to leave that church. You see, in the Old Testament, God gave a prophecy. And he said, my children are being corrupted by bad pastors and preachers.
Watoto wangu wamedanganywa wakaribiwa na walimu na wachungaji wa uongo.
And he spoke to his children in this prophecy and he said, if you will call unto me,
na alinena katika unabii akaongea na watoto wake akasema, mkiniita mimi.
He said, I will give you pastors who will feed you from my fields.
Anasema, nitawapatieni wachungaji watakaowalisha lisha.
One of the hardest things that we may ever face in life,
moja ya vitu ambayo tutaweza kabiliana nayo katika maisha ambayo ni ngumu sana,
is to stop listening to some of our favorite preachers.
Ni kuacha kusikiliza mahubiri ambayo tunapenda. Jimatele mamlita ile ni mama.
But error is a destructive poison that works very slowly. One of the greatest things that all of us could pray is this. Father, may the eyes of my understanding be enlightened.
Baba, ninaomba macho ya mawazo yangu ifunguliwe.
If there are any preachers I'm listening to,
kama kuna wahubiri ambao ninawasikilizanga,
who are preaching this wrong doctrine,
ambao wanafundisha mafundisho ya uongo,
help me see it and identify it.
Nisaidie kuona na kutambua.
If my pastor begins doing this,
ikiwa ni mchungaji wangu ambao anaanza kufanya hivi,
help me see it and identify it.
Nisaidie nione na nijue.
And then take me to the place,
na alafu nipeleke mahali,
where I'll have a pastor who is a shepherd after your own heart.
Bao nitapata mchungaji ambao wewe mwenyewe umenipatia.
And bring fathers of the faith into my life.
Naomba Baba utaniletea wale wa baba wa kigogo katika maisha.
Who will feed me from the table of the Lord.
Watakao nilisha kutoka katika meza la Bwana.
And I know of two people in this room who have done that.
Na ninajua watu wawili katika ukumbi huu ambao wamefanya hivyo.
Pastor Bronk and me.
Mchungaji Bronk.
We have prayed and asked God,
tuliomba tukauliza Mungu,
send teachers into our lives,
fundisha wachungaji katika maisha yetu,
who will feed us from your table,
watakaotulisha kutoka kwa meza lako,
because we want truth,
kwa sababu tunataka ukweli,
we don't want error.
Hatutaki uongo.
And I'm telling you now,
nawaambia sasa,
God will do the same for you.
Mungu atakufanyeni vivyo hivyo.
If you truly hunger and thirst after righteousness.
Kama wewe una shauku ya haki na utakatifu.
Please stand.
Tafadhali tusimame.
Father, right now I'm praying for every person who will hear this message.
Baba, ninaombea kila mtu ambaye atasikia ujumbe huu.
I ask you that you would move upon our lives with holy conviction.
Ninaomba utembee katika maisha yetu na ushawishi wa utakatifu.
That this conviction would be related to the preachers we listen to.
Ya kwamba ushawishi huu utaenda kutunganisha na wale wahubiri ambao tusikia.
And if there are preachers that we do not need to listen to anymore,
na kama kuna wahubiri ambao haifai tuwasikilize tena,
empower us and strengthen us,
Baba utuimarishe,
to stop listening to them,
ili tusije tukawasikiliza tena,
to stop supporting their ministries financially,
tusituache kusaidia huduma yao,
to no longer be following their ministry, but yet fill our hearts with love for them, that we would pray for them, that their eyes would be opened, that they would see where they've gone wrong, and repent before it's too late. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise your name, Jesus.